Good morning, everybody. Fantastic to be with you. I love Ian. He's not listening to me, that's okay. I love him anyway, even though he doesn't listen to me. And we've had a feast this morning, haven't we? You know, and one of the things I love about Ian is that he always leads us into the presence of Jesus and always leads us into faith. And I really, really love that and admire that about you. And so it's one of the joys of having working with you is you always do that. Thank you. And we've had a real feast this morning. I love him, even despite the fact he's even stolen the message this morning and actually done the ministry already. But, you know, that's fine. You know, no problem.
It's good.
I can only consider the Lord wants to do it twice. You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to repeat things, doesn't he? And nothing happens the first time. And then sometimes he gets people to repeat things several times and nothing happens until the last time. They wander around the walls of Jericho 6 times and nothing happens. It's on the 7th time that you get the breakthrough. Poor old Naaman, the Syrian, you know, and actually an enemy of Israel, but never mind. Went to one of the prophets, I think it was Elisha, and to cure his leprosy, and he had to dip himself 7 times in the river, not just the once. So here we go. Let's go around again, shall we?
Absolutely.
See what the Lord does.
Well, then you won't need the hour, will you?
I won't need the hour, definitely not. I never need an hour, he says. Lord Jesus, help us. That's what we say. Grant us your spirit, Lord Jesus. Refresh our hearts, even now as we listen to your words, we read your word together, as we meditate on your goodness. Father, let your spirit breathe life. Inspire us again, Lord God, that we may just love you more and be filled with more of you, more of your love, more of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I was going to preach another message, but Ian heard something that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, no, you must preach that. So I'm preaching, I'm being obedient, I'm a man under authority. So I'm preaching that message. And really, it started because I was woken up over Christmas. And the Lord speaks to me often in the early hours of the morning. I think that's when he can easily get my attention. Otherwise, I'm pretty busy. And he seems to speak to me most clearly before I wake up, or just about the time I wake up, which is really odd, isn't it? Anybody else get that? It's weird. It's really weird. I remember a couple of years ago when I was thinking about taking on the leadership of the church, and I was praying to the Lord. And I woke up with this kind of reference of just numbers and letters that were going through my head. And I thought, what is that? Just as clear as day, I could see this sequence of six numbers and letters. I thought, what is going on here? And I thought, hold on a minute. I've got one of my maps has got, it's not a normal map, where normal maps have grid references there, 3 numbers here and 3 numbers there, and you can find exactly. But this had, one of my maps had letters and numbers, so I got it out and looked up the sequence. And do you know where? It pointed to a place called the Lord's Seat. I thought, ah, fantastic. So I immediately arranged a trip to go and climb that hill. I said, the Lord's going to speak to me when I get there. Anyway, that's another story. He did actually speak to me on the way home, but not on the top of that hill. I just got muddy and a bit lost and a bit windswept up that hill and a bit disappointed. I thought, oh Lord, you brought me all this way and you didn't speak to me what I thought you were going to say. He actually said it on the way home. But that's faith, isn't it? Anyway, I was lying in bed and I was thinking about lots of situations, because if we're honest, there are loads of situations that we face which seem impossible. There are things that in our lives that we see sometimes, we can't see a way up them. There are hills that the Lord's asking us to climb. We think, how am I going to get up there? It's not possible. I can't do it. And the Lord said, off you go. But not just for our lives, but friends, those that we love, neighbors, family. And we see situations and they just seem like nothing's changing. And I prayed and nothing's changed. And I prayed, and nothing's changed. And they become almost part of the wallpaper of life. You end up living with these things. Or am I the only one? Because you end up almost like accepting them. I have friends that are very sick, and I end up almost accepting the fact that they're sick, because I pray for them and nothing's happened. And I really felt the Lord say to me, Colin, why don't you push into those places? I thought, oh, I'm getting a bit uncomfortable. Why don't you push into those places? Well, there are lots of reasons we may not push into those places. Can you think of any? Why don't we go there? Because we've accepted it. Yeah, we've come to that place where we think it's not going to change. There's a lack of faith. Sometimes we think it's not God's time, and sometimes we think actually God actually wants it to continue. That pain, that suffering. Yes, that's a good one, Paul. There's a fear, actually, if we're really honest, deep inside of us, that if I push against this, I'm just going to be disappointed again. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, can I face that? Actually, quietly, I'll just ignore it, and maybe that way I won't have to deal with it. We're worn out. That's honest, Barbara. Yes. Sometimes we just get too worn out. We need a break. We just want a rest. Fear of failure is huge. Sorry? Yeah, it's not our thing to fail in, but we do feel like actually we might fail. So, and I felt the Lord say to me, Colin, you know, that's not acceptable. don't just leave things as they are. You know, you know my favor, don't you? And I said, yes, I do, actually. I've seen it again and again and again. In my life, I've seen the favor of God again and again and again. And he says, I want you to release that over those situations, into those situations. So, here I am this morning, releasing the favor of God over you. You know, God told Moses to tell Aaron to pray over the people. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And because, yeah, that's Deuteronomy, I think, chapter 5. Verse 6 or 6 verse 5, something like that. But because he said that, God said, I'm going to bless them. So there's something about our position. I don't just mean me as the leader of River, but that is a position that I do have, has some extra authority. But this, and Ian has some extra authority as leader of Slough. There is some extra authority that comes with a position, but we all have a position of authority. And there's something about the blessing. There's something about releasing the favor of God over these things. That we must do. And not give up. So, I was thinking about this, and there's a few scriptures I want to read. I want to read a few scriptures over us this morning, if that's all right. Because this book is absolutely amazing. You know, if I want to know God, there's no better place. There's no better place to come than this book. You know, I can spend time in prayer, I can spend time thinking about God, but if I never come to this book, I'm left with just my own thoughts, my own wisdom, and I can be misled slowly over time and get warped. This book brings me back all the time to truth. It brings me back all the time to a true reflection of who my God is. So I've got to read it. Psalm 44 says this: we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds that you did in their days, in days of old. And Ian started the meeting today with that very thing. Whatever God has done in the past, he wants us to think about it, because it's a way of us increasing our faith for the fact he might do it again. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted, your people. You planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. He's saying here that they entered the promised land. They took possession of the promises of God, not because they were cleverer, not because they were better, not because they were stronger, but purely because actually God favored them. Interesting. You are my king, O God. command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. It's a question. You know, where? What are we boasting in? What I mean by that, what are we trusting in? Really? Because we can say we trust in something, but actually our actions and whatever can actually say we're trusting in something else. What are we really trusting in? Are we trusting in our bank balances? Are we trusting in our friends? Are we trusting in our abilities, our strength, our families? What are we trusting in? And here the psalmist is saying, you know, what we need to trust is trust in God. We've got to trust the Lord. He's our boast. It's his favor that's going to enable us to walk into the promises. It's not our anything else that we might have. But I love Scripture, because Scripture doesn't dodge the hard questions. You know, it faces up to the truth. It faces up to reality. I love Scripture because the men and women that I read about are real men and women. They're not kind of cartoon characters that have no warts, that have it all easy. They face life very similar things in very similar ways to the way we do. They had reactions that we might have to situations. So here's the psalmist. He's just said all that. You think, wonderful. What an amazing man of faith this guy is, wouldn't you? Just reading what we just read there. The very next verse says, but you've cast us off and put us to shame. You don't go out with our armies. You make us turn back from our enemy. And those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You've given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing. They are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a derision to those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonour is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me because of the voice of him who reproaches me and reviles me, because of the enemy and the avenger. And all this has come upon us, and we haven't forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant, or our heart has not turned back, nor our steps have departed from your ways. But you've severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. We can feel like that, can't we? Sometimes we can feel that God's forgotten us. We can feel that God's favor is not resting on us. We can feel that actually he's against us. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Actually, things are going so badly for me just right now. I think you've forgotten me. And yet I can't think of what I've done wrong to deserve it. Who else has that put you in mind of? Job. Job was the same. Honest with God. All these things have happened to me, God. I wish you could come down here and we could have a fight. Not a physical fight, because that would be stupid. But a verbal fight. You know, I want you to defend yourself, God, because actually I'm going to bring a charge against you. You've treated me unfairly. That's basically what he said. And at the end of the book, what does God say? You've not spoken to be right as my servant Job has. God said Job was right to get angry. See, God's not after perfection. And he doesn't want us just to have a cartoon faith. He doesn't want us just to have to say the right things. What he wants is us to be real. Just to say it as it is. What is going on for you right now? I want to know. And the psalmist is laying it all out there, isn't he? I love that. He says, awake, why are you sleeping, God? Sometimes, don't we feel like God's asleep? This week, it felt like that, didn't it, Barbara? God, why? Yeah, it feels like you're asleep. Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? Is he forgotten? Our oppression, our affliction, our troubles. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. a psalm of two halves. Starts off in that high place. We've seen, we know what you can do. Fantastic. You're my strength. You're my God. My trust is in you. Second half, wake up! You've forgotten me! I'm a reproach. I've done nothing wrong. But the thing is, you see, that the truth is that second half is true. It's expressing how the psalmist felt. But it's not truth in terms of God has not forgotten them. God has not deserted them. He's not asleep. What's the truth? What does Scripture say? Huh? No, on the contrary. What does Scripture say? We're always on his mind. Yes, and more than that, he is always with us and for us and never leave us and interceding and planning, yes, and good planning, positive upbuilding for hope and future planning, and fighting is one word, working. God is always working for good, it says. Always working for good. We might feel like he's forgotten us, but the truth is he's working for good right now in the situations that we're crying out to him for. And the truth is, the New Testament tells us that all of God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. That is, the promises of God are our promised land. If we are to enter the promised land, if we are to take possession of our promised land, that means us walking into the promises that are held out for us in Scripture. That means walking and doing things just as Jesus did. It means actually doing greater things than he did. It means walking in joy, because that's what we're promised. Peace, love. Walking in victory. They're part of our promises. Walking in healing, that's a part of our promise. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a promise to us that we can possess if we enter the promised land. And remember, we don't take hold of that by our own strength. Actually, it's the Lord's strength that gives us the land. It's his favor. But we've got to enter it. So what's our part in this? I'm going to get onto that, the bit about the power at the end. But there's a part. Oh, it's a lovely bookmark, but it's very heavy. It's always falling out of my Bible. Just a couple of things before we get to the bit that God actually then spoke to me about his power at work. One is, on our part, is perseverance. Not giving up. Because there's one surefire way of making sure that you will never enter the promised land. It's giving up. Surefire way. You know, that's what God got so angry about when the first time the Israelites approached their promised land. They walked up to it. And they sent spies in. And then they had a little bit of a chat. Shall we go in? What do you think? Shall we go in? Some great fruit there. Some good stuff there. I like all that healing business. I like all that setting people free business. Yeah, it's fantastic. I like that. I like the nations being our inheritance. Fantastic. But what about those big fellas? Those giants? What do you think about them? And they had this discussion, and the fear of the giants, the fear of the problems that they faced, actually kept them out. They wasted a whole generation because they gave up. You see, when we're looking at that our promised land, when we see just the problems, when we see the problems, or when we've been battling with big issues in our lives, which are trying to keep us out of the promised land, it doesn't mean that God's forgotten us. It doesn't mean that he's deserted us. It doesn't mean that we're outside the will of God even. Because you can feel that sometimes. Oh, if this bad stuff is happening to me, I must be outside the will of God. But that's not true. Sometimes, yes, it's true. You know, if you get drunk and fall over and smash your face like I did once, you know, and I had stitches, that's because I was outside the will of God. I didn't know God at the time. But I got what I deserved at that point. But God has not abandoned us just because we're facing difficulty. The whole book of Hebrews is a book to a people that were persecuted. They were it's a book written to a people that were on the verge of giving up. So if you ever feel like on the verge of giving up, it's a great book to read. Fantastic book to read. If you're facing difficulties which are really wearing us down, then let's read the book of Hebrews. It reminds them that God's people, the people of faith, don't always get things easy. Listen to this. Cheer yourself up. In Hebrews chapter 10, sorry, 11, verse 32 to 40, it says this. This is after a long list of heroes of faith. Abraham, Noah. Great list of faith of people, great exploits they've done. Daniel. And it gets down to this verse, and it says, and what more shall I say? I haven't got time to tell you of all these other great heroes of faith, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and... Hold on a minute. It was good up until that point, wasn't it? Should we stop there? Women received their dead, raised to life again. Because it sounds wonderful up to that point. Then the tone changes and it says, others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. It's a bit crazy, isn't it? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. It's getting worse. They were sawn in two. Anybody been sawn in two? They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and tormented. Anybody got goatskin clothes? Destitute, tormented? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Oh, my word. This is the heroes of faith that this guy's talking about. He gave a lot of promises that were fulfilled. A lot of things that they entered into, but a lot of stuff that they never entered into. They partially entered into. And he says, don't give up. You haven't yet resisted to the point of being sawn in two. That's a word of encouragement, isn't it? Turn to your neighbour. I've not been sawn in two yet. I'm not giving up. I didn't see anybody obey that. You rebellious bunch. Paul says something similar, doesn't he? He talks about the wonderful ministry that we have in the Holy Spirit, how we're being transformed from glory to glory. By the Holy Spirit at work within us in 2 Corinthians. We see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then what does he say? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay. So that the excellence and the power might be of God and not of us. If we were all powerful, wandering around without any afflictions, any trials, accomplishing all this godly stuff, we might get a bit proud, mightn't we? No, our own glory, anyway. But that's what it says. So it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at that which is not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's the same message, isn't it? We have this glorious ministry. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're being transformed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus. We're doing the kinds of things that he's done. We're actually seeing some breakthroughs in healing. We're seeing some breakthroughs in deliverance. We see bits of the kingdom coming, and yet also we're perplexed. We're a bit crushed at times. We're a bit downtrodden at times. We're a bit under the weather at times because there's stuff that happens in life trying to get us to give up. It's part of the enemy tactics. Paul goes on in chapter 6 to say the same thing. Your co-workers together with him, it says, we plead you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In the acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I love that. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Today is the day of salvation. When we are out giving away those tracts and praying for folk, and you know, it's good to know that today is the day of salvation. Actually, when we're facing difficulties, when we're going into very dark places with our family or friends, actually, it's good to know that today is the day of salvation. That this is the year of God's favor. But look what he says. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience or perseverance, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes. Hold on a minute, I was with you right up to the point where you were saying about stripes. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God. Come on, that's better, isn't it? By the armor of the righteousness on the right hand and the left, by honor, fantastic, oh, dishonor. By evil report, and good report, as deceivers, and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Anybody can relate to that? Because it's true, isn't it? We get sorrowful over many, many things, and yet actually when we turn our eyes to Jesus for a moment, we rejoice as the knowledge of his goodness floods our hearts. So this is the what Scripture encourages us to do. And Jesus himself says, take heart, doesn't he? In this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. So perseverance is key. And the psalmist says in Psalm 27, I would have given up. I would have given up, Psalm 27, verse 13, unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Claim it, Barbara. Claim it. I would have given up unless I had really believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because that's the next thing we need. We need to have faith. Faith in this good God. Not a God who's asleep. Not a God who's forgotten us. Not a God who's chastising us. But a God who is good. See, even the devil knows that God exists, the Bible says. But what the Bible says is, we need faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Though, because everyone who has faith needs to A, know that he exists, but B, know that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. That's faith. God is a rewarding God. He loves to give us good things. We're the ones that limit him. He doesn't limit us. So so vital that we know that his favor rests on us, that he's for us. That this faith is not just a religious thing about knowledge of that there is a maker, a creator of the universe, but actually this faith is in my Father who loves me, who loves me so much he actually gave his Son for me. That is incredible. This Father whose love for me stretches higher than the heavens are above the earth, who has separated my sins from me as far as the east is from the west. This God who loves me from everlasting past to everlasting future. This God who says, you're in my image. And you can rule and reign with me in this place. Wow. This is our God. This is our God. It's that knowledge that enabled Caleb to enter Canaan. Not this Caleb, a namesake a few years ago. Because when he saw all the giants and all the issues that were facing them in their taking hold of the promises of God, he said, we can do it! Not because he was strong. He was quite strong. He remained strong up until his 80s. He said, not because he knew that he could take on a giant and kill him, but because he knew that God was with him. And if God had promised him something, actually, they were going to get it. But his faith was not in some intellectual idea, but his faith was in a God who is faithful to his promises. So if we're going to enter this promised land, we need to have a faith in a faithful God, not just a belief in a God who exists, who's powerful, but a faithful God, a good God. Let's never, ever, even, I love this, Bill Johnson says, if I'm reading scripture, okay, and I'm reading something which makes me believe that God is not good, or he's done something which is not good, either the scripture's wrong or I'm misunderstanding it. He says, I will not sacrifice my faith in a good God, even to scripture. Now, you have to hear what he's saying there. He's not saying that scripture does present God that way, but he says, if I'm understanding it that way, I'm not going to listen to that understanding. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to wrestle with it until I find another understanding. It's very good. So we need to have perseverance. We need to have faith. That whole generation wasted their lives in the wilderness. It wasn't that they lost their salvation. They were still saved. They wasted their lives in the wilderness and never entered into the promises of God through lack of faith in the faithful God who keeps his promise. That is our battle. Hebrews 6 sums that up. Hebrews 6:12. Listen to this verse. This verse is a wonderful verse, but it sums up all that I've just said. And then I get on to the bit that Ian wanted me to preach on. Hebrews 6:12 says, 11 says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. How do we inherit the promises? Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Okay. Then God reminded me of his power that's available to us and toward us. And one of my favorite books is Ephesians. I spent 4 or 5 months studying it once. And it's just an amazing book. I got so much out of it in those months. Anybody read Watchman Nee? Fantastic. He wrote Sit, Walk, Stand, which is a book based on, which is kind of a commentary on Ephesians, really. And I just want to let us reflect on those three things right now. Sit, walk, and stand. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, it says this. Paul is praying. He says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Will you just put your hand on the person next to you and just pray for them? Quickly, just a quick prayer. You can put a hand either side if you want to. pray. I pray, Father, that you grant this person or these people wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened. That we may know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of your glory, your glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. According to the power that your mighty working power, which you used to raise Christ from the dead. When you seated him at your right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that can be named. Amen. See, God's power, God's infinite power that with which he raised Christ from the dead is toward us, it says there. His favor rests on us, so his power is toward us. It's not against us. It's not resisting us. It's toward us. It's working with us. But the key here is to sit. It says in the next chapter, he raised up us together with Christ and seated us in heavenly places. Seated us in heavenly places in Christ. And our journey into growing in our ability to see heaven come on earth begins with us sitting. It begins with looking on the face of Christ. It actually begins with us knowing who we really are. I mean, that's incredible. Julie, that's an incredible thing. If I look at you, and if I see you in the flesh, I see one thing. But if I see you in the spirit and think, wow, there's, as C.S. Lewis said, there's a king or queen of Narnia. There's someone of royal blood. There's someone who's seated on the throne. No, that's not just nice talk. That's what the Bible tells us you are. That's who you are. Seated in with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every other power. We need a revelation, don't we? If only we could really grasp that. It's one of those things we need to keep coming back to daily, I would say. To practice sitting on the throne. How does it feel, guys? Just humor me for a second. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You're on the throne. You rule. But you rule in love. You never force your way. This is the throne of the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. It's not one or the other, it's both. It's the Almighty. But ruling through the Lamb. Never forcing your way, but working through love. Okay, just going to have to move on quickly. We walk then. We walk in love. That's why in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that prayer. I pray that you'll be strengthened in your inner being by the Spirit. That you may be able to grasp, together with all the saints, you know, rooted and established in love, the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth of the love of God. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled up to all the measure of God. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, that's quite a lot above, isn't it? Not just a little bit above. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, anything that you might ask, or think, or imagine. That's a crazy. Able to do anything more exceedingly abundantly above all of that. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, the bit I missed out there, when it says about him doing exceedingly abundantly above and all and beyond all we ask or think, guess what it says next? According to the power that works in us. So if we're to see God do those things, actually, we just need to know that that power is at work in us. It's through us that this power is administered because God rules and reigns on the earth through us. He's given it to us. We represent him here. Okay, lastly, that's walking. We walk in love. We want to walk in power. We walk in love. That's why we love everyone we meet. We're not earning it. It's not a merit. You can't earn God's power. But actually, when we walk in love, actually, we're walking in harmony with the power of the Lord. And lastly, it says, stand. Chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then it says, pray. First of all, it says, put on all the armor of God, and then pray. So God wants us to sit in the place of power, which is to be seated in Christ, far above all rule and dominion. God wants us to live, to walk in the place of power, which is in love. God wants us, desires us, to stand in the place of power, and that's in prayer. And as we do those things, the power of God is at work toward us, in us, and through us to the earth. And so God encouraged me to say, look, I want you to encourage the people, my people, to walk in my power. To persevere, to not give up. To have faith, to know that I'm working with them. To sit in the place of power, to walk in the way of power, and to speak with words of power. Because I don't want you to give up on changing the things that you see. I don't want you to accept them as wallpaper. Because there may come a breakthrough. It may be the seventh time around Jericho. And you may do the same thing you've done the previous six times, but this time there may be a breakthrough. So can we just end there and pray once more into those things? Everybody then who is facing a situation or knows someone who's facing a situation, which is like a mighty storm, wind and waves that we've been singing about, or is like a high mountain you can't see a way up, or is like an obstacle you can't see a way around. A situation that seems hopeless, that you maybe have accepted as wallpaper, please stand. You can still stand. If you're still fighting, you can still stand. If you are wanting to see a breakthrough in an impossible situation, that's it for actually everybody in the room. Okay, Lord Jesus, you're an incredible God. I thank you that you're the lion and the lamb. That if you were just a lion, you would actually just force your way into these situations and just correct them. That's not the way you work. You're the lamb. You went through the cross to show us you're the lamb. So we accept, Lord God, that actually this world is in process of being saved. We accept that there are pains that you don't want, but actually they're part of the rebellion. But we come against that rebellion today in the name of Jesus. We come against the things that stand against your people, Father. We come against the things that cause pain and suffering and misery. Lord God, we come against those situations that seem impossible, that we may have accepted, or we've been wrestling and we're still wrestling with, Lord God, and we haven't yet seen breakthrough. We come against them in the name of Jesus. And we say, thank you, Lord God, that we're seated with you in heavenly places. Thank you that we're seated above every power, every authority. Thank you that we're seated in that place. Wow. Thank you that your power is toward us, that it's favorable, that it's favorably disposed, that you are going to do what we ask. That's what Jesus says. If you abide in me, if you love one another, then ask the Father whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We claim that promise now in the name of Jesus. We do not give up, Lord God. We will persevere, Father. Strengthen us in our inner man by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit again right now. Increase our hope and our faith. We say we are faithful, Lord God. We are full of faith. Help us in our unbelief. Lord Jesus, grant us a fresh gift of faith today to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Let your kingdom come. Let love rule, Lord God. Let peace rule. Let joy rule. Let truth be proclaimed. Let healing come. Let breakthrough come. Let finance be given, Lord God. Provision for your people, for those in need. May the fatherless be cared for and the widow and the orphan, Lord God. Let your kingdom come. We love your will. It's perfect, absolutely perfect. And we pray for more of it in our lives to come in us and through us and out into this world, Lord God. We refuse to accept the status quo. We refuse to accept that things cannot be changed. We declare that the wind and the waves still obey you. And we prophesy peace into every storm that rages against hearts and minds of people. In Jesus' name, amen.